Thank you. I will rise. And I never would have made it. And I've made it through some stuff. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. I've been up and down and level to the ground. And I'm not the Lone Ranger, so have you. My dad used to remind me that we have all been dead before and that we have all risen from the dead. No test, no testimony. No trial, no triumph. Everything is set up for our awakening. Everything is set up for the renewing of our strength and the renewing of our minds. I had a fantasy when Timothy was driving me here of giving the briefest sermon I've ever given. My fantasy was that I would just walk up on the middle of the stage and look at you all and say, mind your own business. Peace! Enough. I know that's enough for me sometimes. That's the only sermon I need to hear. Mind your own business. A Course in Miracles has this wisdom contained within it. It says, and the entire course speaks just to me. The book was channeled for me. If anybody else reads it and gets any benefit out of it and does the work book lessons for 365 days a year, and you get some benefit, that's great, but I have no confusion about who that book was written for. It was written for me. So every time I read in it, I always preface the sentence or the point that it's making by calling out my own name. And it's interesting that John would refer to me as Carly because that's the name I call out. That's who I am inside. So the Course says to me in one of its sections, Carly, the only reason that you do not have peace of mind without end, continuous peace of mind, the only reason you do not have an understanding and awareness of your eternal power, the only reason you forget sometimes that you are created in the image and after the likeness of the Almighty One, is because, Carly, you are far too tolerant of mind wandering. You're just too tolerant of letting your mind just wander where it wants to go. And the interesting thing about your mind, Carly, is that where it wants to go is into the activity that you and your people are so fond of. That activity is projecting what you find to be dark inside you onto others. That activity is for you not to be willing to look at yourself so that you can be about the transformation of your own mind. And so you look at other people and you pretend you know what they should be doing, how they should walk, how they should talk, how they should wear their hair, the changes they should make, the things they need to pick up and the things they need to put down. You are far too tolerant of mind wandering. You wander away from the only business that is your business, and that is the business of your mind and transforming your mind. You are far too tolerant of mind wandering. And you are far too skilled at the favorite game for you and your people to play. Of course, you know what that game is. It's not basketball. It's not football. It's not checkers or chess or Monopoly or Parcheesi. It's the blame game. You allow your mind to wander out, taking care of and minding other people's business. And you love to play the blame game while you're at it. Carly, if you gave 24/7 to the business that is your business, which is the transformation of your own mind, you would realize that it takes all of your attention. We have more than 65,000 thoughts a day. that enter into our minds. And of those over 65,000 thoughts, thousands of them are negative thoughts. And we who are in spiritual arenas hate these negative thoughts, think these negative thoughts are wrong, and we have negative thoughts about having negative thoughts. We condemn ourselves and judge ourselves for our negative thoughts, but we can't bear the burden of that judgment, so we look outside for someone else to judge and to place this burden of our own guilt and our own shame upon them. Many of us in spiritual arenas have been spending years trying to get to a place of enlightenment where we will no longer be visited by negative thoughts. And even when we feel we are developing spiritually, we notice that the negative thoughts, they do visit us. And many of us beat ourselves up for that. When will I get to a place where no more negative thoughts will enter into my mind? The answer to that is never. Negative thoughts will always visit. The point is, will you make them welcome, invite them to stay, and entertain them with your attention? It is never negative thoughts that are the issue. It is the meaning we give to our negative thoughts. A Course in Miracles also says in one of its sections, Carly, you have given everything you see the meaning that it has for you. Everything. Nothing is what you think it is in truth, but in your experience, it is what you say it is. The scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Why does it say think in his heart? I thought you think in your mind. What is this think in your heart stuff? And if the scripture says that I am what I think in my heart, I want to know what that means. What that means is not every thought that's in your mind affects you. Not every thought in your mind do you give meaning to. But as you think in your heart, that is your mind wedding with your emotions. The thoughts you think emotionally, the thoughts you think of as being absolute truth, the thoughts that move you. I've said many times, if you sit in front of your beautiful altar in your mantra position and your mudra position, and you speak words in beautiful language, such as I am as God created me, that is all I'll ever be. God's good pleasure is that I experience the kingdom. I can speak those for an hour and a half, and if I don't feel them, nothing's happening. It's what you're feeling that is running your show. And a lot of us are feeling like I can't possibly look inside. I am addicted to looking at my surround and the people who inhabit my surround. I had a wonderful opportunity to live out this lesson earlier in the week. I called a friend of mine I hadn't talked to, and I was only on the phone about a minute before he started telling me about how he had lost his job and how he didn't save any money when he had his job and that he's in a house right now with no heat in it. And it's a He talked about how he's got a little space heater in his bedroom, and it's the only warm spot in the house. And then when he has to go to the bathroom or the kitchen, he has to run through a freezing house and sit on a freezing toilet and get into a freezing shower. And he was telling me, I don't even have money for gas. Somebody's loaning me a car, but I can't fill it up. And he's telling me his story, and I'm totally hooked in, and my heart is open with compassion. And I say, what are you doing right now? Nothing. Why? I'd like to treat you to lunch. Okay, that's awesome. I met him at the restaurant. He was sitting there with a cocktail. I said to him, I'm buying your food, but not your drinks. "Cool," he said. "I got my drinks covered. I bought his food while I watched him spend four times more than I spent on his food for his cocktail chased by a beer. I was not minding my business. I was minding his business. I was livid while I ate my clam chowder. I'm surprised I didn't choke to death on one of them clams, because I was so busy minding his business, I wasn't even chewing my food. I was so mad at him, I wanted to grab him by his neck. I know what he should be doing. Spending money on cocktails. You need to put that money in your gas tank. And what kind of fool am I, driving 18 miles to eat, buy you a lunch? You got enough money for cognac? I ain't got enough money for cognac. I was spitting bullets, man. And then I heard a quiet whisper. "Carlos, what's your sermon title for New York this coming week? Isn't it Mind Your Own Business? Aren't you going to talk about how you let your mind wander into wilderness territory?" And in that moment, I went, "I'm going to stop minding his business. Because it's a 24/7 obligation to observe my own thinking and to pull myself back into the garden." And with that observation and with that decision, I watched him drink his cocktails while I chewed my food and sat in delight that I was going to pick up the tab for his chicken wings and his burger. I had bound myself. I had returned to the garden. The blame game, the judgment game, it's a human ego thing. The blame game is so fun to play, we think, not knowing what it does to us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. This has been my observation. Minding my own business is work. Minding y'all's business is fun. Work or fun? Let's see, which one am I going to go for? Fun! Minding other people's business. Not just you all's. Not just my friend who I bought his chicken wings and burger. Everybody. I find myself minding everybody's business. I know exactly what the politicians need to be doing. Exactly. I know exactly what my siblings need to be doing. Exactly. I know exactly what my ex-wife needs to be doing with her life. We haven't been together. I mean, my oldest child is 43, and we got divorced when he was 6. And I still find myself minding her business. And I'm with her. Why would anybody wear that? You spent your money on what? I had a woman once. I think I told you about her. She told me that Jesus told her that I was going to marry her. And I told her he lied. I think I told you she was an airline stewardess, and so she could fly anywhere. And although she lived in Ohio, she could get to Massachusetts every weekend to stalk me, to remind me that Jesus did not lie. You are going to marry me. But the interesting thing about it was, she told me on multiple occasions what she was going to do with me once she married me. At the time, I wore braids. I'm going to get you out of them braids. I wore big gold hoops, I'm gonna get you out of the mirror rings. I wore black all the time, I'm gonna get you into some color. I never wore a suit, I'm gonna get you in a suit. You are going to look like a reverend when I get done with you. Right now, you do not look like a reverend. You either look like somebody that's playing music somewhere while high on reefer, or somebody that other people might cross the street if you're coming up and the sun is going down. You're going to wear a collar and cut your hair in a nice gavatas with no earrings. And that's who you're gonna be. And I would say to her, you are so set on marrying somebody that doesn't exist. And you're minding my business all the time. There are improvements that you can make in your own life. You could change the color of that lipstick you like so much. I'm minding her business. So easy to look at other people and believe we know what they should be doing. Spirit keeps calling us, come back, mind your own business. Over 65,000 thoughts a day, some of them very uplifting, which you could observe and nurture. Some of them down-putting, which you could simply observe and let them pass. And don't beat yourself up, and don't think you're the only person on a spiritual path who is still visited by negative thoughts. Everyone is. Everyone is. It's the meaning you give to them. It's the ownership you take with them. And it's your belief that they have the power to destroy you that keeps you projecting them out onto people in your surround. Once more, minding your business is work. Minding his business for you is fun. What do you want? Work or fun? But I don't know about you. Have you ever thought you were having fun only to pause, take a deep breath, and think deeply enough to realize this isn't fun? It's not fun judging everybody out there. It's not fun having my mind consumed and inhabited by somebody out there that I don't even like, and that I don't think likes me, and that I think does not have my self-interest at hand. I let that person consume my mind. I wander to his name. I look for news about him on television. I scan a paper for news about something else he's done that I know is wrong. And all the time, my soul is saying, when will he get to me? When will he get around to making a soul connection? So busy connecting to his enemies. You know, the people you think about and let consume your mind, you're worshiping them. I know people who are worshiping people they can't stand. To worship is to put your attention on anything that you believe has the power to help you or hurt you. We think some of these people on this planet have the power to hurt us, and none of them do. And we think some of them have the power to help us, and none of them really do. We simply give each of them the meaning we choose to give them. Everything is about you. Your only business is watching your mind. Mind is your only business, so mind your business. And if you are visited by negative thoughts today, and it has been your habit to beat yourself up for it, or think something's wrong with you, or think you don't have your spiritual act together, go, oh no. I'm like everybody else. I can observe these thoughts and allow them to pass if they do not serve me. Or I can observe these thoughts and nurture and hold them if they serve me. Over 65,000 will visit your mind today, and a few thousand will not be uplifting. This doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. It's an opportunity for you to mind your own business. My dad was half Cherokee, and there was a part of what he called some of his behaviors that he credited to being Cherokee. We didn't care for the family. And one of those was that if you asked my dad a question, he might look at you and then walk away. He wouldn't answer. It used to make us so mad. So mad. And one day he said, I'm not going to answer every question everybody asks me. I'm going to go and think about it for a while. And if I get clear about it, I may or may not come back and give you the answer. Because my clarity is for me. And there were some times where he'd answer right away. Dad, what are you doing? Oh, I'm fixing the carburetor. Get around here. Hand me a wrench. When I do this, this happens. When I do that, and see, that's going to let the gas flow there. See how it's clogged up? And there were other times you'd say, Dad, what are you doing? And he'd go, none you. What are you doing, Dad? None you. Just short for none your business. And in those moments, it would be like he's telling me to mind my own business. And sometime I'd find out that the none you was because he was working on something that was going to be a surprise for me or my brother or my sisters or my mom. And he would say, it's none of your business what I'm doing. When I find myself now thinking, like at the table at the restaurant, or thinking about what's going on politically, or what's going on with race in America, and what's going on with the isms and the phobias, I hear in my dad's voice, Carla, that ain't none yet. What he's doing, that ain't none yet. It ain't your business. You can sit here and make up all you want that you know what he should be doing and what he shouldn't. What should you be doing? That's your field of control. And what you should be doing is minding your own business. Because it's your holy enterprise. And you, Carly, are a trip. You're a trip, dude. Playing the blame game, going into negative judging, condemning, throwing rocks at people, being self-righteous, sitting high and judging low. You're a trip. Get off your high horse. Calm your thinking. Return your mind back to where it needs to be, operating on yourself, getting rid of any thoughts of dis-ease and discord that you are wed to. Mind your own business. And don't condemn yourself while you do it. Be gentle with yourself. You cannot shame yourself into being a better person. You cannot blame yourself into being a brighter star. You cannot judge against yourself, expecting to rise. Give yourself the gift of unconditional love and positive regard, and extend the same to those in your surround. This is your key to happiness, bro. Take your power back, homeboy. Deal with Carly. He's a handful. You're a handful, too. You can't be carrying around your ex. You can't be carrying around your parents and what they did or didn't do. You can't be carrying around people of the opposing political party. You can't. You can't carry that stuff around and fly. It weighs you down. It anchors you. Don't you want to fly? I do. Fly is just another word for rise. You have risen more times than you can count. You deserve to give yourself a standing ovation. You've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. You've had dreams deferred. You've invested in many an enterprise that fell apart right in front of your eyes. Some of you have walked down the aisle with your beloved, absolutely certain it was till death do us part, only to discover it ended pretty much as soon as it began. You've been through the fire. You've been dead before. And you have always, always risen from the dead. You're the proof of God's power of resurrection. So why would you ever be concerned with the splinter in your brother's eye? After all, Carly, you have a log in your own eye. With a log in your own eye? Do you have time to deal with the splinter in somebody else's eye? No. No, you just don't. You're a handful. You're a handful. Tend to your work. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Only you can do it. Preachers can preach about it. Singers can sing about it. Instrumentalists can play notes about it. But the work is yours to do in your life. And the work is mine to do in mine. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. Name means nature. Your very nature is holiness, which is wholeness. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear. And that there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. As I sit and breathe consciously, breathing deeply in through my nostrils, filling my lungs with the breath of life, holding the breath for a moment, and then letting go, breathing deeply out of my mouth with an audible sigh. And again, consciously breathing in through my nostrils, filling my lungs with the breath of life, holding, and then releasing with an audible sigh. And once more, to fulfill the law of three, I breathe deeply into my nostrils, filling my lungs with the breath of life, hold, and then release with an audible sigh. And with these three deep cleansing consciousful breaths, I have released static electromagnetic energy that has been binding me in some way in my physical body, in my mental body, and in my emotional body. As I sit and breathe, I increase my attitude of gratitude, grateful to be alive, in the land of the living. Grateful to be aware. Aware of my oneness with the Creator and with all of creation. Be me renewed by the transformation of my mind. Transform beyond the physical, beyond the realm of form. Transformation of my mind moves me to a high place, beyond the carnal experience, into the realm of self as spirit, in the world, but not of the world. This attitude of gratitude that I increase on purpose right now fills my heart with such joy that it is like a cup running over. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Right here, right now, I let God speak. Thank you for the reminder, God, that God is in heaven. Heaven is in me. Holy is my name. There is nothing to fear. There is no one to blame. I've been informed. My captivity is over. I've been informed. In truth, I'm free. And so it is. And so I let it be. Amen.